Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
Sometimes the nature that's in our yards doesn't have roots or sprout from the ground. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Laura, hello.
Hello to you. And today on GLT's Grow, we're talking about wildlife in our yards and how to properly deal with the critters. You know, I mean, you get like a Canada geese deciding to settle down in your yard,
right,
or what have you, but you can't just go out there and mess with them because there's laws and regulations about wildlife.
That's right. In the living world, we share with lots of living creatures, and those living creatures are actually protected. In almost every case, at some level, they're protected. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
It is.
Whether you're on the cute side of the fence or you're on the homesteader side of the fence, this is a world that needs to be preserved, and we're all stewards of that world. And it's important to know you can't mess with the wildlife, really. You can't mess even with the eggs.
Mm-hmm. That's
or the
a
nests.
Big no-no.
And you know, something that a lot of people overlook, and I was not aware of it until I was presented with this information a few years back, you're actually not supposed to take the feathers either. Or
mm-hmm.
say if you were living in Tennessee and you found a black bear claw, you're not supposed to take it. You're supposed to leave it. And I think there's a rule that we all learned in elementary school ecology. It's take nothing and leave nothing, and it applies to everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you got the sage sticks you're making at home and you see that red hawk feather out there, you really are tempted to take it, and I know you are. I would be, too.
You bet.
But the satisfaction is leaving it alone and walking away from it. That should fill your heart with joy and pride. And that's a great way to help yourself overcome the temptation of helping yourself in nature.
So, Murph, who are the people who are actually looking out for the wildlife that may end up in our backyards?
The primary organization is the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, along with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And, you know, you mentioned the geese. They're a big problem, especially in airports.
Mm-hmm.
And for folks that have reflecting ponds and large ponds and small lakes, that the geese can kind of render them unusable because of all the droppings. The mitigation techniques include dogs to scare them away in the airport, airfield example.
Uh-huh.
Or then there's the geese string, which looks like fishing line that's strung in a grid, and it goes across the lake and across the banks. And the geese have a hard time landing in the water, and they also have a hard time using the shoreline to nest or to roost. All of those things require special permitting. And there's going to be a biologist from the state is going to have to ask you some questions that might be hard to answer. So why do you want to get rid of them? Oh, they don't look nice around my pond. Sorry, can't help you. Might be the response to that one.
Mm-hmm.
So
don't do anything without checking with them first.
That's right. You know, so that's the highest level of involvement. Another level of involvement in credentialing or having a permit or the hunting licenses, right? So if you are living outside of city limits and the crows are roosting in your trees and they're waking you up or keeping you up at night, a hunting license and a call to the Illinois Department of Natural Resources are usually all you need to take care of something like that, say with an aerial shot from a shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Not at the birds, but just, you know.
Yeah, you might just want to scare them away for
right.
a while, because sometimes that can be effective. And, you know, that could be true if it was a skunk, you
uh-huh.
know. So, but there's some other things you need to keep in mind living with wildlife, and it relates not just to the proper permitting and trapping and hunting guidelines, but it's the common sense approaches like prevention. It means limiting access. So if you have a hole in the soffit or the gable of your roof where a bird or a squirrel or a varmint can crawl in there, it's not if but when they will.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, critter management. And the bottom line with a lot of this is, hands off, or you could get into big trouble.
That's right. And I think that the hands-off rule is not just because somebody else feels they have domain over the critters.
Mm-hmm.
It's to protect oneself and protect the animals, too. So you try and take it upon yourself to remove a raccoon from your tool shed, you could end up having some scratches that would result in some need for medical attention,
mm-hmm.
along with the pain and humiliation of having your ass kicked by a raccoon. You don't want that. So we talked about prevention and limiting access, but you can also do resource removal. So if you have a bunch of little holes around the stoop and around your sunny, hot entryway, fill them up with something before the snakes get in there. Right? And I know my wife is flipping over backwards because I said snakes, but that's what they do. They find little holes in the ground.
Yeah, a critter's being a critter.
We mentioned the geese string that goes across ponds and stuff. That's an example of habitat modification, right?
Right.
And then there's exclusion, too. So if you have a fence and you live on the edge of town and you notice the deer, the rabbits, the birds, they're all ravaging it, you can exclude them from this item, this feature, by putting a physical barrier around it, so like a fence or a crib.
So you're not going after the critter, you're actually protecting a certain area from the critter.
That's right. And then one that is very common, but it's kind of the last resort, it's repellents. Repellents are everything from
coyote
hot pepper
pee.
Type stuff, predator urine and stuff that scares off the varmints. There's other liquid amendments, one brand name called Ropel. There's some other brand names that use tobacco dust and cayenne powder in them.
Wow.
They do work, but you just have to be mindful of your doggies and kitty cats that you might be sharing the landscaping with. And know that these things don't last forever. So if we have a hot, sunny day, their persistence lessens, it breaks down quicker. And then when it rains and snows, it all gets washed away. So you got to stick with it. Living with wildlife is easy for most of us that are residential and suburban dwellers, but for those of us that are raising crops and raising animals and things like that, interacting with wildlife is more challenging for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it would not be common for you to find a neighbor that has a live raccoon trap, but you might meet a farmer or a nurseryman or some other gentleman farmer that's out in your area that do have those because they've had encounters with the varmint. And
is that
the
legit?
Trap is,
can you do that?
That's right. That's a lot of times how it happens. So you've got a problem with the skunk. The biologist isn't going to recommend that you kill anything right off the bat. The exceptions might be, say, a rattlesnake or an animal that you know for sure has rabies, like a bat
right.
or something.
Yeah.
But they're going to figure out a way for you to preserve that wildlife, protect yourself, protect the other animals in the world that we share, and move on. Because they might come back, but that's okay. You've got the little trap now.
Uh-huh. Can you get fined if you try and mess with, say, eggs or what have
it's
you?
It's serious business, right. So I think it varies depending upon the offense, but if you mess around with the bald eagle, that's serious business. You shoot a squirrel out of season with your pellet gun because you're tired of them ravaging your bird feeder, well, you can get away with it. But if you don't, you might lose your firearm privileges. You face a fine. And
nobody likes who shoot squirrels.
Yeah, unless you're really hungry and you've got a hunting license for it, let's keep shooting the varmints to a minimum. That's not the way to deal with them.
Yeah, if you've got squirrels, do what I did and just feed the squirrels. Feed the birds and feed the squirrels. Put the food in a different area so the squirrels go over there and eat that.
And I think a lot of times, too, it boils down to knowing what animals you're living with. So if you move from central Illinois to north central Michigan, you're going to have to start caging your garbage because the black bears and the wolverines and such, they're up there. That's a new thing.
Well, pay attention to what you got in your backyard. Thanks so much, Murph.
Thank
next
you.
Week on GLT's Grow. Murph has advice on starting seeds. Yep, we're coming up on spring, definitely. Believe me. Now, if you've got a gardening question or problem that you would like Murph to take on, we would love to hear from you. Go to our website, wglt.org/grow. There's a form there you can fill out. Send it along to us, and there's a very good possibility that Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. Spring is coming, and we would love to hear your springtime questions. Submit them at wglt.org/grow.